Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Senator, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was waiting to read deeper into this Philly.com article, but they seem to be pretty, factual here. I wanted to do this for 20 years, like Toomey was the evil villain. No, GOP tax bill, a landmark. They praise you, as we see you, as being a guy who is very, very detail-oriented, and that's what counts with this. So how does that feel after 20 years of public service trying to get this done?
Well, honestly, Dom, it feels really, really good. I mean, you know, we set out to do two things, to give a direct tax cut to the men and women that I represent, individuals and families, and that's definitely going to happen. More than 90%, well over 90% of the folks that I represent are getting a tax cut, especially even higher percentage among low and middle income folks. That's item number one. And item number two is to reform our business tax code so that we can finally compete and win. We can see an end to these inversions where companies have to find a way to headquarter themselves somewhere other than the United States, where we can bring back the money that's been trapped overseas for years because of the ridiculous tax code, where we can encourage companies to go out and invest in the kind of equipment that make their workers more productive, whether it's factory equipment, machinery, tools, vehicles, whatever it is, all of that, we're lowering the tax on that investment. That means there'll be more of that investment. You know, workers have to have jobs to build those things, and then other workers get to operate those things. So I'm really excited. I think in addition to the direct tax relief that everybody's going to see in their paycheck, we're going to see an environment where there's stronger economic growth, there's more jobs being created, there's upward pressure on wages. So I'm really pleased.
Well, it's regrettable that, the Reagan tax cuts, as you know, and listeners probably do, there was, if not widespread, there was somewhat bipartisan support. But the upside of this now is it's pretty clear your Democratic colleagues like Senator Casey and others have chosen one path. It's clear. They cannot now go back and say they were on board with this when the success happens. So the American people will get to judge this. This is a very clean deal that's going on as I see it here.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that is unfortunate, Tom, is back in the 80s, there was a wing of the Democratic Party in the Senate, Bill Bradley, a Democrat senator from New Jersey. There was a wing of Democrats that were very pro-growth. They fully recognized that if you get incentives right, you encourage more economic growth, and the U.S. economy is capable of tremendous growth. The growth wing of the Democratic Party is gone. They all look and say, oh, none of this matters. Nothing matters. We're not capable of growing at more than 2%. You know, the difference between growing at 3% and growing at 2% is a difference of millions of jobs and higher wages and a better standard of living. So it really matters. But our Democratic colleagues in the Senate, anyway, they've just given up hope on the American economy being able to really be a booming economy. I've never given up hope. I've always been convinced that American workers, American entrepreneurs, we're capable of tremendous growth if we just get the government out of the way.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening, Senator. So let me ask you, the signing of this bill, in case that comes up with listeners, there's something in there about Medicare. Is that one part of it? I heard that yesterday. Is that what's driving the president not signing it right away? Why is that not right away?
Yeah, it's just a timing issue. The president is absolutely going to sign this. It's a question of whether he signs it before the first of the year or after the first of the year. It's a technical thing. Nothing is going to happen to Medicare. It's just a matter of when we get some of the technical legislative provisions taken care of. And that's going to happen almost certainly this week. And the president then signs the legislation either this week or next week.
Now, government shutdown appears to be very, very remote, but what are the sticking points over the next couple of days? What's your view about what's happening?
Well, you know, it's always, unfortunately, we don't do the ordinary process of funding the government through a series of sequential bills over the course of the summer like we used to and like we should. And so we end up with our back against the wall here at the end of the year. This is a self-inflicted situation, and I'll spare you my long explanation for why we are in this mess. The short version is, I think we're going to solve it this week. It's a mix of which pieces of legislation, which bills get in and don't. Will the Democrats hold the government spending hostage to a DACA fix of some sort? Will we renew the CHIPS program, which is a low-income health insurance subsidies for kids? Will that be part of this or will it not? What about disaster relief? Because we do have the areas in the South that got hit very hard, and Puerto Rico. So all of these different items, people feel strongly about the order in which they go, whether it's all rolled up into one package, whether they go separately. This kind of thing most people are not very focused on, and understandably so. We'll get it done, most of it this week. Some of it may wait until the week after the holidays, but I predict now that there will not be a government shutdown.
Good. Now, you mentioned DACA, though, and my read is, I'm hearing it seems to be pushed back into January or something. What's your position on this, and where do you feel Republicans and Democrats are on it?
Well, my view remains what it has been done, which is, look, I think this is a sympathetic group of folks, especially those who were brought to this country when they were young children. Clearly, they have no responsibility for that having occurred, and the only country they've ever known is the United States. So I am open to a provision that would grant them a legal status. However, if we do that, we have to recognize the consequences of doing that. And one of the consequences is it sends a very clear message to the rest of the world that if you bring your kids to America illegally, at some point in time, they'll be granted legal status. So just come here and wait it out. So given that, we've got to do something about it. In my view, that would be furthering enhancing border security. That would be dealing with visa overstays, because we know 30 or 40% of all the people here illegally came here legally in the first place. They just stayed longer than they were allowed. And it would also deal with verification of employment, because that's a big part of the attraction, is people knowing they can come here illegally and still get work. So if we deal with those other items, I'm entirely open to a discussion that would include legal status for children that came here as children without the prop, without the proper legal.
Is that a path to citizenship, though?
I think that's a separate conversation. I mean, it certainly doesn't automatically have to be, and I think at minimum, those folks should not be at the head of the line. There's people who've been waiting, following our laws for years, waiting for citizenship. I don't think those people should in any way be disadvantaged or bumped by people who did not follow the law. So I don't preclude. I'm not suggesting that kids who came here through, the DACA kids should be permanently disqualified from ever being eligible for citizenship. But I don't think they should be given a preferential treatment over someone who's followed the law.
Parting area on that, too, the chain migration point, too, could that be written in, even if there is some legal status, that does not open up more migration of people?
Yeah, I think we do need to revisit that, and it would make sense to revisit that as a part of this deal. I think immigration into the U.S. should be more merit-based rather than based on extended family members. Just because somebody came here, and maybe they came here through a lottery or some random process. We do have admissions by lottery. It's not clear to me that every fifth cousin of that person who got lucky and got a lottery should automatically be able to come here by virtue of this chain migration. So I do think that's something we ought to address.
Senator, thank you. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas. And again,
thanks,
congratulations.
Tom,
you have been one of the real guiding lights in getting this done. It seems almost miraculous, even though to me it's great common sense.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.